This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Would you ever think about this for a minute? If you've got a bookcase, just have a look at it or think about it. How do you organise the books? Are they organised in colour order? Are they organised in alphabetical order, by title, by author? Because apparently there's a way that we should be doing it.
Gender, sexuality and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren Rosewarne, good afternoon.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
I imagine that you, being an academic, you are completely organised when it comes to books and periodicals and everything else. Am I right?
You would be completely wrong. So not only do I not have a bookshelf in my house, but I put everything in boxes and in a sort of haphazard fashion. But I do keep a list of what's in each box because I imagine that one day I might need to find them. But those boxes are not in any kind of order. I literally have to find what it is that I'm looking for and it'll say box 7 and I'll know to go to my garage, box 7. But there's no books in my house. So if people came here, they would assume that I don't read or write books or anything else. And I find this an interesting observation because people judge, you know, there's lots of judgment regarding how people catalogue books. Mm. I don't even have any visible. So I could imagine I convey the impression to strangers that I don't know how to read.
You know what's interesting is I'm just picturing my my dad's office, which is, of course, is my old bedroom when I was a kid, and there is stuff everywhere. It's you. Cause sometimes you even can't even open the door. There's stuff everywhere. But you know what? He knows exactly where to find something. If I said to him, I need such and such from whatever, he would go in and it would come out with it straight away. If I went in to find something, I'd have no idea where to start. Yet I'm the opposite. I like everything to be organized and neat and tidy.
Oh, I like the idea of it, Warren. It's just I can't do it. Mm. I can't maintain that level of order. So I'm generally someone who embraces a bit of chaos. And things that I do need regularly, for example, I don't know, I have a very large collection of lipsticks. I can't tell you where a certain one is. I have to allow fate to decide what one I wear. Oh. Purely because they're not in any order or in the one place.
Are they in the box?
No, they're just in lots of different places. And that's why I'm saying fate has to decide what I wear because I can't tell you where the exact one I want is. So it's best not to get your heart set on finding any specific thing.
How should we organise things such as books? I mean, do people keep books these days?
Well, and that's, I think, in my case, I don't have any novels at all. I'd read a novel a week, but I listen to them on audiobooks, so there isn't a hard copy. And even when I used to read hard copy books, I'd always give them away because I'm not someone who'll ever go back to them. Mm. So I don't get joy from looking at a hard copy of a book I've finished. But look, the principle of always with organization and filing is you need to have a system that allows you to find it. So even in your dad's system, which you find a bit chaotic, he obviously knows where everything is. And that's the principle with any kind of, let's say we'll stick to books for the moment. Mm. You need to have a system that allows you to, in reasonable time, find what you're looking for. For some people, that will be colour. For others, it'll be author. For others, it'll be title. There's it's often called the Moscow or the Russian system, which is last in is the last spot on the shelf. So that's a sort of chronology as to order of things that in the order of the order that they were acquired. So the last thing on the shelf is the most recent thing you've bought.
It's interesting because I mean, I read occasionally. I throw them out, as in, you know, give them to someone else or put them in a local sort of swap library with the local council or something like that. And I've got a bookshelf still, but it's completely empty. All I've got is a pile of books, probably maybe there's 10 books that were special to me when I was very, you know, a very young child. And, you know, there's one about a pony. There's all sorts of things. I've kept those for some reason, and they're wrapped up in a bit of cloth that my grandmother gave me. But they're the only ones I've got. Every other one, I just throw it out. I don't care. Even coffee table ones. I'll put them on the coffee table for a week, and then I'll think, oh, I have to keep wiping dust off them. Out it goes.
I think that's my approach, is that most of my book collection are books that I've purchased for work purposes. And, you know, if I bought my most recent book was on film remaking, so I've got a whole box of books on film remakes. Now, I don't imagine a time that I'd need to look at them for leisure. They're super expensive academic books, so I'm a little loath to throw them out. Yet, if I move again, they will be the first things that are thrown out. But that idea of, you know, if it's not meaningful for you to have it around, and scholarly books aren't meaningful to me in that sense, I don't want it around because, like you, I'm going to have to dust it. And for me, it makes more sense to have them in a box that's sealed where at least the dust can't get inside.
Do you remember when we all had those CD collections? And I mean, I never had that many, but I had maybe a box full and they'd all just be thrown in there. But you'd go to people's houses and they'd have towers of CDs in the room, and they'd be all catalogued and ordered, you know, and it was amazing the effort that went into it. And now, of course, you don't have to do
anything.
Whereas
now, that idea of having to physically go through physical media as opposed to a digital file. I mean, my dad has a large collection of DVDs, and he has a sort of system, and it's like, I don't even have a DVD player.
No, I threw one out last week. Well, took it to the electronic recycle centre.
Yeah.
The last DVD player. I bet you a DVD pops up now.
Exactly. Yeah, and the only copy is available on DVD. No digital copy exists, yes.
Lauren, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you're in primary school, you learn about the Dewey system of filing in libraries, etc., and it goes through high school, through to university, and I remember looking up periodicals in university and doing all the research, etc., etc. What's it like now? You're at Melbourne University. I mean, is that cataloguing still there?
It is, in the sense that in the entire time I've been at the University of Melbourne, and I started as a student in 1998 and pretty much have never left, there's always been digital filing and digital records. So I've never had to use a card system at the University of Melbourne. The one difference that, you know, was there when I first started was that someone would physically take your books and scan them, whereas you do all that yourself now, in the sense, much like local libraries, it's self checkout by and large. I think, though, that idea of how much stuff is now online, including digital copies of books, that is the biggest departure from when I started. Most of my research, particularly if it's research materials that have been published in the last 10 years, I can get from my desktop. I don't need to go into the library at all, be it periodicals or even, you know, textbooks. There's digital copies. And the beauty of a digital copy is you can do word searches, as opposed to having to read through a whole chapter for one line. You can actually find it just, you know, with Control F, which is, you know, again, the rules governing any kind of search for something is it's got to be easy for you to find what you're looking for.
I want to find out something else about you, Lauren. Your spice cabinet. How's that organized?
I have what do you call those things that they have at Chinese restaurants where they spin?
Lazy Susan thing.
There you go. I have one of those. I don't have that big a spice collection, but it's one of those that have hot sauces and spices in it. What about you?
Mine are, you know what, I used to have to buy the same brand and have them in alphabetical order, but now I don't. But I used to. Like, you'd open my spice cupboard.
Was that exactly before you got help?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, again, I'm the polar opposite. I like the idea, which is probably why I find myself in that awful rabbit hole of watching those TikTok organizational videos. I'm never doing any of this, but I kind of have admiration for people who do it. I can't justify the time, and that's like so many things. It's not that I physically can't do it. It's more about, would I rather do that, sorting out stuff, or would I rather read a book? And I would always pick the book.
Lauren, what do you reckon, I suppose, the internet, the world of electronics, streaming services, et cetera, you know, we don't have as many books now, or hard copy books. We don't have CDs anymore. We don't necessarily, I suppose we still have spices. What's it doing to our organisational skills?
I would say that younger people and, you know, every generation after them are going to find it, have the skills to find stuff, you know, better than the last generation in the sense that being tech savvy really cuts down. Not only, I don't just mean being able to use Google, but being able to use Google in advanced ways or other search engines in advanced ways, where it's not just finding, for example, every article ever written about pianos, but being able to master sort of advanced searches and those kind of things. I think for younger people who've grown up using the technology, that stuff is more second nature. And I like the idea of, you know, it almost becomes a bit of a joke, but how quickly someone, you know, a younger person can find somebody online with so scant information. It's like, how are there cold cases anymore, given how good people are, particularly young kids, at finding people?
Absolutely. Lauren, great to chat with you. Have a great
Have a lovely long weekend. Thanks, Warren.
Catch you next week.
Talk to you then.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.